Question 34. What have I to do with thee? John 2:2-4. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Along the way, we tend to get diverted and tangled in business that is not ours. Sometimes we find things suddenly to be important and even critical that wouldn't be important at all if we were on the proper task, moving in the right direction, and more concerned with the destination toward which we know God wants us to go. Have you ever wondered about the broken lives around you that are seemingly forsaken of God? Lives you cannot seem to help no matter what you do or say? It may be a surprise to some, but our Father God has a ministry. He is ministering to his lost sheep. When they call out in panic, when they find themselves away from the flock and the sun going down, they cry out, and he hears. He may send us to these lost sheep if we're in a position to hear him. We could be deeply involved in this ministry of God searching out his sheep, but due to our self-concern, fear, or pride, we therefore will not or cannot hear his instructions. Wanting to do his will, but only on our terms, we become restless, and we may want to take a stroll into the world on our own. And should we find any of the Father's sheep, we will gladly witness to them. This is not necessarily an excursion into sin or disobedience. It's just going about our business instead of his. Just a little diversion, or even just a little fun. On our way, we meet sheep in dire situations who have nearly no awareness of the shepherd, his purpose or plan. We try to minister to them or witness to them, and they seem unresponsive and in some cases hostile. We forgot momentarily that God has assigned Jesus as the great shepherd, and it is his business to minister to the ones that the Father draws to him. Then we find ourselves enmeshed in situations that are in desperate need of repair, and we find our lives entangled in lives that are little more than webs spun of the rebellious and of little or no importance to the immediate purposes of God. We're concerned with problems that were years in the making and even clearly caused at the fault or negligence of the ones involved. We can find ourselves grieved and praying for the betterment of people that don't care a whit about their own estate, all because we have strayed from the path that God has assigned us. Our heart goes out to them. We cry out for God to help them. He must ask, What have I to do with thee? Whether praying for someone who doesn't care or asking for God's power to fill with his presence a life that cares nothing for him, we'll hear him say, What have I to do with thee? He's asking, Why are you asking me to involve myself where I am not wanted? In the story of the water and wine, Jesus conceded to his mother's wishes and performed a miracle that he would not have done otherwise. This is an example of concession to the will of a believer, like the importunate prayer in Luke 11. In both of these stories, it's obvious that the one of whom the request was made had no desire to do the action requested, and, minus the request, would have done nothing on his own. We definitely have the ability to ask what we will, and he will grant and give us these desires, even outside of his own desire. But is that the best way to minister? In the story of the importunate prayer, found in Luke 11:8, we read, I say unto you, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. It is as if to avoid aggravation that the friend conceded. Again, in Luke 18:5, the parable of the importunate woman, She constantly comes and asks to be avenged of her adversary, something of no concern to the judge. We read the judge's words, "Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Though he cared not at all, he answered her request. To avoid this, we need to remain close to the Father's work and be ready to work on his behalf and not our own. The scriptures say, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Are we not supposed to be in the way he directs? Doesn't he expect us to go in his direction? Though we may see needs that we feel should be met, we need to realize that God is not following us around to see if we need him. We are to follow him and wait till we are called upon to minister. Romans 12:7, "Let us wait on our ministering." When Christ was on the earth, he was questioned about how he performed miracles, and he said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." As he walked in God's way and watched and listened to his Father, he would do the works of his Father. He is our example. Sometimes we get ourselves tangled in affairs that do not pertain to us, nor do they have the immediate interest of God. Sometimes we wonder why he doesn't answer our prayers, why he seemingly ignores situations and even people who need him. This is why it is essential that we commune with God, learn his way, and get in it. When we make request of God on behalf of the people in these situations, we may be missing his purpose. James 4:3 says, "Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss." The model prayer and numerous parables mention the idea of being led along as we go. This is an essential part of living in his will. It's imperative to know the will of God in order to do the will of God. To hear his voice in whispers, we must be near the task. We must not wander. When we're close to his work, we may even anticipate his next move, but we dare not make it until he nods. It's a beautiful thing. When a need arises and all things are right between you and God, and to know you're on task and to know that you're in the center of God's will and can see the Father work hitherto and are ready to hear the slightest whisper of his wish, the joy and anticipation you feel even now as you hear this is no match for the reality of doing the right thing at the right time, saying the given word, or having the needed item ready to give to the person of God's choosing. There's nothing like working within his will and being used by the creator of the universe to minister to his loved ones here on earth. God has given great latitude in life for recreation and entertainment, but you need to be aware of your duty as you engage, even in good diversion. When you go your own way, constantly seeking something or someone to entertain you, going when you should not go, doing more than you should, you sacrifice the blessing of being a vessel, meet for the master's use. Paul said, "Although all things are lawful, all things aren't necessary. All things don't make me a better person," is the way I put it. Care needs to be taken that you don't attach yourself to things and even people with whom the Lord is not presently working. Although he may answer your request, is your desire the Lord's desire? Do you care for things for which he shows no concern? Are you asking amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts? Are you asking for wine for your own consumption? How sad it is, after you've poured out your heart and laid out the petition of your desire at the feet of your God, only to hear him say, "What have I to do with thee?" Even if he answers and makes your water wine, what have you gained but your own drunkenness?